for talk-ons, Bill. How are you now?
Pretty good, Keith. How are you?
I'm good.
We're a month away from college football season.
We're very close.
We are, as of this recording, 1 month away.
Exactly 1 month. I'm very happy.
In 1 month and three-ish hours, Miami and Florida will be playing the very first game of the season. Actually, technically not the very first game. I think Hawaii plays one against Arizona, but, you know.
Those both are actually really good
yeah, matchups. I think so. They should be. We are notably without Josh today. Schedule. Ooh. Josh?
Oh.
The one who mispronounces everything.
Yeah, I didn't even notice him being gone.
He had a scheduling conflict, so it's just Keith and I today.
Well, for right now, I mean, he may pop in here in a bit, but I'm not holding my breath.
We're also working on trying to coordinate some interviews with a couple people. Get a more national focus outside of the Big Ten footprint around here. yeah, a couple people at work are, one's a Washington State fan, one's a Florida Gator fan. Be fun to get them on, but also schedules aren't permitting.
Yeah.
Busy time of year.
And I think next week, I think we're going to try to do a big mock. So we'll try to get at least, I would say probably a perfect amount would be 8.
Yeah.
And so we still have 4 auto picks, but I think it's a good stretch.
We have 12 in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, some are playing remotely,
mm-hmm.
And therefore will not be available to the large mock. But, I mean, last week's was fun. It was just, as we'll go in a later segment, got kind of tricky near the end because they would pick their 6th defense.
Yeah.
So if we can have at least 8 people, that would be a lot of fun. Then we can see a more natural pattern of what players would go when.
Yeah.
You can develop a draft strategy a little better.
I mean, I've been searching too, and I think this is something that we should start compiling ourselves, but I cannot find an ADP market for college players. I understand it's a lot, but it's I don't know. There seems to be a dearth of college football fantasy knowledge.
You gotta get on Twitter, Keith.
I don't know. I don't want to.
By the by, Josh is also on Twitter now. Follow him at JoshPTOPod.
Did you finally change that name?
He changed it. He misunderstood which was the handle and which was the display name, so he put his handle as the display name, and then they generated a name for him, and it was like Josh with a random string of phone numbers.
Yeah.
So it looked like Josh put his social security number as in his Twitter handle. Thankfully, that's changed now. So give him a follow at JoshPTOPod. But
yeah.
Now, Twitter, I found a little niche within college football Twitter that's been really helpful for me as far as growing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, ADP is hard to come by. A lot of it is up behind a paywall. So that part's tricky because I'm cheap. And hey, there's a project for you. You can make your own ADP.
Well, that's,
I mean, it's hard to do when
it's hard.
Considering ADP is based on average, and if you're doing your own, then it's not an ADP. It's right. Just my rankings.
Right. Well, I was thinking of the aggregate of the three of us. Like when we start getting more in depth in the rankings, and we start doing more and more mocks. Because this, by the way, pro tip: this is the season to start mocking. Like the month before the season starts is when you should really be looking into.
So you mean like seasonal cyclical? To start mocking, not like the 2019 season is the season to start mocking.
No. You should be doing this consistently to get a better feel, just so when it's actual draft day, you're not going in cold.
Yeah, exactly.
To use an F1 reference, got to warm up the tires a little bit.
Warm up the tires. Yeah. Got to do the formation lap.
Let's get the formation lap.
I had never done a NFL fantasy football mock draft.
Really? And
my first few years, it showed. I was like, oh, yeah, quarterback round one. Let's go. Bad idea. So I definitely, highly encourage the use of mock drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Ours was really beneficial last week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like I learned a lot from having the three of us.
And again, just to plug Fantrax.
Yeah.
That's where we've been mocking, but we've created our own league and have been using the computer, as you guys know, using the computer to draft based on the highest points accrued from last year. Because things have still yet to update. They're not going to come out until August 1st, I think they said.
Okay.
And everything updates, transfers go in, freshmen get in, and then everything's locked solid.
Perfect.
So, Fantrax, if you are listening, we are open to a sponsorship. No free ads.
Fantrax is the best.
But it is the best platform we've been using, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been quick to update and have a very easy user interface, although my photoshopped picture of Herm Edwards with the perm is too big to be using as my team photo, so I got to figure a way around that one for right now. That's been my only complaint with Fantrax so far.
Yeah, well, you can just simply resize it.
Yeah, but that's an extra step. I made this amazing photo. Just let me use that photo.
All right. So, Media Day.
Yeah. A lot of fun to be in the fantasy world, it's mock draft season. In the real college football world, it's Media Day season. Mm-hmm. So the different conferences are having their various media days around the country right now. Some are done, some are yet to get started, but I want to cover a couple highlights. We're not going to go over Harbaugh and his mental health comments. Keith and I felt that neither of us are qualified to go over that.
Definitely low lights.
Yeah. And obviously, as Michigan fans, we'll be the Homer label will be thrown around quite a bit. So starting with the Big 12, there might have been other stuff that was noteworthy, but what stuck out to me is that the Big 12 conference will now be punishing any use of the horns down, which is
so dumb.
Which is a real bummer to me because
it
made some great drama, especially late last year in the West Virginia-Texas game. Now, I have to clarify. They said it's not necessarily just horns down. It's when you do it in the face of an opponent.
Which you get flagged for that anyway. Like, and like, why are you going to punish it more? When you have stupid things like that, which all Texas schools do.
Well, it's not just Texas schools.
No, I know. The Gator chop. But Texas schools all have these like dumb hand symbols that all the
Florida State's do. Got the chop.
Yeah, but that one, they're kind of like, ooh, we should probably stop doing
that. This. That has different implications aside from just being
this,
from sportsmanlike conduct.
But what I was going to say was when you have stuff like that, you have to roll with it, and whatever happens, like you can't get upset.
Right.
Like you're exposing yourself out there as this is what we do. This is, you know, who we are. This is our brand. So when people use the mock it, when people get to mock it, you have to take it.
It's fair game.
Yeah.
If your school lives and dies on having a hand gesture, then you have to be open to the fact that people are going to use that against you when things don't go your way.
Right.
It shouldn't be surprising, especially in the sport of football when everyone's so dedicated to being tough. You know, it's like that kind of bugs me. So,
yeah, it just it further infantilizing what should be a manly sport.
It's just like at the end of the day, who cares?
Yeah, that's the other thing too.
If you don't like it,
don't do it.
Don't get beat to the point where someone can do the horns down in your face.
Right. That's kind of also to get off on a little tangent here for a second. That's also one of my main complaints about baseball, the current state of baseball, the unwritten rules.
Yeah.
The bad flips you and I have had a lot of discussions about this, and my stance is, if you don't want guys bat flipping or watching their home runs or doing any of that shit, be better.
Yeah, don't
fucking be better.
Don't serve up a 89 mile an hour slider that doesn't break, and then it gets hung out over the plate, and a dude bat flips it in the bottom of the eighth.
Yeah,
don't be surprised.
Yeah, and so what? You're just gonna plunk the next guy, or when he comes back up, it's so dumb and childish. Like, let him have his moment, and get mad at yourself, and just be better.
Right.
I'm with you.
Yeah. So that's where the summation of the horns down comment. Just if it bothers you that much, there should be ways to avoid it.
Right.
AKA be better. That was about it from Big 12 Media Day. Admittedly, I didn't look too much into Media Day because a lot of it is just glorified coach speak for a week and a half. Just saying we got, real talented team this year.
Everybody's optimistic.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's going to do great. They're really excited about their class. That's all the same song and dance they have to do because they have to seem like everything is going well, even if you have a dumpster fire behind you.
Right.
I don't smell anything burning.
Yeah, exactly. And the players that they bring with them are going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Honored to be here, honored to represent my program. And I'm sure it is. But at the same time, you don't get as brutally honest answers as I would like to hear.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. Mm-hmm. And then there's always the one team that brings a kicker and that gets a couple retweets on Twitter because, oh, someone brought a kicker. That's funny. Kickers are people too.
Right. Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's the same thing every year. There's really not that much, not much different, but it does mean that we're closer than ever to college football season because after this comes training camp. Mm-hmm. Another thing of note, from the Big Ten, Pat Fitzgerald in the most, tough guy coach move possible said he is blaming college football attendance on millennials being too attached to their phones, which, you know, I get it. That's everyone's go-to thing right now, but my, like, you got to look at the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
Like, ticket prices are insane. Ads have gotten so long that the game feels like it's, you have like mini intermissions as opposed to just commercial breaks. Food prices are crazy. Parking prices are crazy. And like, yeah, you might sound like I'm copping out, but at the same time, I also want to put food on the table for my wife. I would love to go to a big game this year at some point, but just, you know, it's just not in the cards for me.
Well, and I think it speaks to a bigger problem with sports in general. It's the quality of the TV broadcast has gotten to the point where, going to, like, you can save, you know, 90% of the costs, you know, and be at your home and wear whatever you want or not wear anything at all,
which is that's my preferred way of consuming college football.
Preferred way as well.
Correct.
It's just, and HDTVs are a lot cheaper. Technology is overall is getting better. That just speaks, but that everybody's struggling with that.
Yeah,
it's everywhere. It's not just college football. And also, pro tip, guys, be schedule fan friendly.
Like, right.
Stop doing all of these primetime things.
Right.
Or, you know, just be more conscious of, like, okay, where do people spend their time, and how can we most take advantage of that?
Right. And going back to your point about the TV broadcast, like, that's just, it's gotten so well done that I almost prefer that to a game live. And that's actually one of the questions I have in our rainy day section is, would you rather watch a great game live or a bunch of okay games on TV? I don't know.
Great game live.
Getting to and from.
Great game live.
especially going to Michigan games, they're just a hassle. 110,000 people in one place. Like, I just.
They're so much fun.
Yeah.
It's similar. It's so I used to be this way about music a lot, just because the sound quality when you're at a concert isn't always the greatest.
Right.
But there's not an experience like listening to your favorite song or band live.
True.
And you're feeling the energy, and just it's everybody around you also feeding into that same experience. Whereas if I'm fucking around the house, I'm not just sitting down and listening to one song and being absorbed in it. You know, I'm doing other shit. It's just more of something to play in the background or just have a constant ring of noise, because otherwise I'll go crazy. But
you've already gone crazy, Keith.
Well,
that shit's insane.
But so I'm always going to be in the experience zone,
right?
Where I just think that's the best way to consume it. Yes, you don't get the don't always get the best updates. You don't always see every angle. You're not looking at the close plays, and you don't get the analysis part of it. And I understand those arguments, but I was lucky enough to watch the Michigan State Notre Dame game. Ooh. What was it, 6 years ago, when they still had to bring in the lights,
right,
on giant trucks, and they won off a fake field goal?
Oh, that was like 2010.
Yeah,
that was a long time. That was more than 6 years ago.
Sorry, 9 years ago.
Yeah,
I got to watch that live. That's something I won't forget.
That, yeah, absolutely. And it, you know, it makes sense. I totally understand where you're coming from an experience standpoint, but at the same time, it's a lot. It's a lot to go into it. And so if you can get
this corporate job, you're getting all soft on me. All right. You need to get back down the ops team.
It wasn't my job that changed, that made this decision up for me. You figure a month of YouTube TV is $50. A month of an internet bill is $50. You buy a Chromecast one time for $20. You buy a TV one time. That's cheaper than two good tickets to one game. And that's just tickets as well.
Yeah.
But we've kind of gone off the rails here. Long story short, I don't think it's people being too attached to their phones.
No, it's a lazy excuse. You're missing the forest because of the trees.
Now, if he were to say accessibility is killing college football attendance because people can watch the game on their phones,
right.
Yeah, that makes sense. But it's not because, oh, people younger than us are unable to have a conversation.
Right.
I don't think that holds water in this context.
Because we still like to be social too. Like, we haven't lost that sociability part. You know, our generation, like, if anything, wants more of that and wants better experiences.
Right.
So I remember even at Central, before I worked in sports, we would make that decision of like, okay, do you guys want to go to the game today? Or do you want to just stay here, have a bunch of people over and watch a run of games?
And even so, if you chose not to go to the game, it's not like you're sitting on the couch, everybody on their individual phones.
Right.
Like you said, it's a social outing. You're still watching games. You're still interacting and analyzing and a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, I don't think it's attendance is directly due to the changing technology and inability to communicate.
Right.
Shall we say. But I still think Pat Fitzgerald is a great coach. A little bit of an oddball, but at the same time, that's
talk about crazy.
Part of his charm. and then the last thing.
Speaking of charm.
What?
Isn't the next thing.
Yeah. Speaking of charm, is the new LSU locker room.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the Gundy comment.
Oh, the Gundy comment was amazing.
That
was amazing.
Was the highlight of media day for me.
That was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So Gundy's son is playing for Oklahoma State this year, and they were asking about how that changes his coaching tactics towards his son versus a different player. And he says, well, you know, I don't treat him any differently. It's just hard for him to realize I'm sleeping with his mom, which is just an absolute all-time comment.
Even though
I'm sleeping
with his mom.
That was absolutely incredible.
What a fucking man.
What a guy.
He's so awesome.
He's gotten to the point now, like, I love this because it's rare in today's college football. He's gotten to the point of great comfort where I think he can get kind of loose with stuff like this. And he's like, you know, if I say the wrong thing, Oklahoma State's not going to let me go for a press conference.
Right.
So I can get a little
weird. Well, think about
how
many he's done too.
And he's got one of the most famous ones of all time.
Yeah.
I'm a man, I'm 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's amazing.
He's done this so many times. He's like, let's make this fun.
Yeah. He's got the hair. He's got obviously the I'm sleeping with his mom comment. Yeah. Like,
it's like the complete package.
It was amazing to hear that. I'm glad you brought that up because we had just mentioned not a lot happened to Big 12 Media Day.
Yeah.
Well, that happened to Big 12 Media Day.
Yeah, sorry. I thought that was the next thing you were going to bring up.
No. Next thing I was going to talk about was the LSU locker room and how that made a splash. If you didn't see it, it's pretty wild.
Gaudy.
Yes, I think that's a good way to put it. Every player now has a sleep pod with an individual TV. And kind of morphed into a locker, I think.
Yeah.
So either you have a locker / like sleep pod reclinable chair. I think it's cool. Personally, I think it's a little over the top for me. Also, I don't know how much sleeping was done in the locker room when everything smells bad and there's music blaring constantly.
Right. It's, I don't know. To me, it's like one of those weird recruiting moves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think another example we have that we know personally is remember when the team downstairs had a ping pong table.
Mm-hmm.
It was just given to them.
Right.
They're like, oh yeah, now we have a more recreational space. Here's a ping pong table. Have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started playing like shit and it was taken away.
Right.
So you can't exactly take these sleep pods away. You can't give these monitors away. Like,
I think Coach O would find a way to do that.
He would just
duct tape every individual screen and says, just get a sack next week. And then you get one strip of duct tape removed. Then you can see the top half of the screen.
Well, it's too much. And I think the LSU program still has a long way to go.
I think so.
To get back to
honestly,
having
stuff
like this.
I think LSU is about, I hate to say this, but I think they're about at their ceiling in that division when you have to play Alabama every year and Texas A&M is on the rise. Auburn is still a top 10 team, even though the record never shows it because the schedule.
Right.
I think LSU is going to peak at 3, 4, 5 at points in the season. They might beat Bama once every 5 years, but I think this is about it. I think Coach O has him as good as they'll ever be. Might break through 1 year and make the playoff, but not likely. So I think this is it. These locker rooms are about the only way they beat Bama in the past 5 years.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I just
to me, is just a lot. And I think when you get down to it, that stuff is so superfluous.
Right. It doesn't make you a better football team. I mean, it might because your players are well rested, you know, look good, feel good, play good, the whole Dion thing. But yeah, it is superfluous, but it's also, you know, that's what gets recruits.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's
sex
fun.
Sells, baby.
It's fun. Yeah, but fun locker room. They had a nice time with it. I'm more of an old school mentality when it comes to that.
You know? That's why Keith wants to play for a place that has pine benches and the old metal lockers that clang shut.
Because guess what?
You can stuff a kid into.
I'll ride those benches.
Yep.
That's right.
All I did. If you were a recruit, what locker room amenities would you like to see?
I would rather flashy stuff like that doesn't get to me. It's more of like the complete package. Like,
so just how does this play into the culture in general?
Yeah. So like having like a nutritionist or having somebody I can go to talk to being like, okay, I don't feel as strong in this particular area. Like, what can I do to improve?
Mm-hmm.
Like having those pieces to me would make me as a recruit want to go there.
So not necessarily having a,
yeah, like I don't care.
80-inch flat screen TV on the wall.
No, I don't care about the TV on the wall because guess what? I'm not going to be sitting in the locker room watching TV.
And that's the other weird thing. Like, I don't know a whole lot about exact schedules, but like, I know a lot of D1 programs have their game day locker room versus their practice locker room.
Yeah.
So like, if this is their game day locker room, how much time are you actually going to be in there?
Right.
And especially for 6 home games a year, 7 home games a year,
most. Yeah. At a certain point, it becomes too much, but it's fine. They can have their day. It's all going to be good.
Yeah, it was wild. I mean, I think that's about it for media days, I guess.
Yeah. Well, like you said, there's more to come. Some conferences haven't done them yet, and I'm sure there's going to be one or two more things that pop up, like somebody make a dumb comment about CTE again. And
oh, like Larry Fedora last year?
Yeah.
That was wild.
Somebody will be going off against the toughness, somebody do another slagging off about the millennial generation. It's just,
oh,
all
yeah.
These things are going
to
come.
We're bound to get at least a few more of the millennial thing.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because the players on the teams this year are, the oldest one is maybe born in 1997.
Yeah.
Which is just hilarious to me. You know, I was still crapping my pants in 1997. Also
crap
my pants in
now.
2014. But
crap your pants now.
Not now. It's been a while. All right. Everyone gets one. So
I have not, proud to say I've never had one. I have never shat my pants.
Well, now I found my new goal for the year is to make Keith shit himself somehow. Don't know how, but
I don't know. Recently, man, I can't really seem to trust the fart either. So
maybe I'll just propose enough trades of Khalil Tate to him, and
I'll just get so mad that something a little squirts out,
just pop a blood vessel, and something gets a little hairy or a little yeah.
Oops, a little nugget.
All right, this is going off the rails. Anything else for the first part of the podcast?
No, not really.
Okay, Josh just texted me. He said he's on his way, so we're gonna take.
Oh, good. So we got 20 more minutes.
Yep, we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we are gonna recap our mock draft, and we have another little random exercise that we went through again this week
that I actually really liked.
Cool. I'm glad.
Good.
We are back. Josh is joining us now. Welcome, newest Twitter user.
Thank you.
How are you?
Now? Good to be back.
What's the what's your username there, guy?
It is Josh PTO Pod.
Wait, this is yours, right?
Josh PTO Pod. That's what it is. It took me a second to think about it. I haven't had a Twitter account in years since was mean to John Beeline. So,
well, if you play your cards right, Keith, you could be. Josh could be mean to you, so on
there
Twitter.
You go.
So everybody go follow Josh. Since you missed the first segment, do you have anything to add about Media Days? Pat Fitzgerald, Mike Gundy. Horns Down.
Continues to be the man. The Horns Down thing is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life.
That's basically what we said.
It's so stupid. You can't, if you can do the Gator Chomp, why can't you do Horns Down? So
and
I'm sure you guys have already talked about it.
And who's to say whether you're doing it ironically or to actually cheer on your team?
Also, who cares about Texas?
Maryland, that's who.
Well,
it's Maryland.
Why
is undefeated
why
against
to
Texas
to
the
Texas?
Last 2 years.
It's annoying.
Yeah, that's dumb.
It's life.
Yeah.
So we're going to dive into our exercise now. This is a fun one that I saw on Twitter. I don't remember the user that had actually started it. But so we were challenged with finding the best team possible using only the first initial of your first name. So obviously, for example, my team had to comprise all players that started with letter B. First names only, because I struggled mightily finding guys that started with B. To start at least, but then I did a little more research.
Mine was awesome. Mine was great.
I think Josh...
My team's the best.
Yeah, I think Guaranteed. So. But I'll take it away first because my team is probably going to be the worst. My
you
quarter,
do too?
I tried to do... Because my real name is George. I tried to do one for G as well. Didn't get very far at all. I just didn't bother after a while. So my B team. My A, B team. That's not confusing. Quarterback one, Brock Purdy, Iowa State. Quarterback two, Bryce Perkins, Virginia. Running back one.
That's pretty good.
All downhill from here, though, boys. Running back one, Benny LeMay with Charlotte. Running back two, B.J. Smith from Troy. Here's where it gets a little shaky in the wide receiver core. Brian Edwards, South Carolina. Ben Skowronek from Northwestern. Better not bring his phone to practice. Wide receiver three, Brandon Mack from Temple. Although, pretty good year last year. 600 yards, 5 touchdowns. He was low on the depth chart. And then my tight end is Bryson Hopkins for Purdue. Caught 34 balls last year for 600 yards and 2 touchdowns. And my defense is Bama.
Did you do a
tight end? Oh, come on.
No, my defense is Boston College.
Did you do a kicker?
I couldn't find a kicker that was...
Yeah, I didn't do a kicker.
I didn't do a kicker, I'll be honest.
What the fuck, guys?
I can look up one real quick if you want me to.
Well, no. I'm looking up a defense right now because I forgot to do a defense. No, so,
idiot. Well, what would be actually more fun, too, is see how all of our guys did at the end of the year and see who wins.
I mean, I have them written down here, so I might as well come back to it
once
I find a kicker.
Yeah, keep your sheet.
I was really hoping you guys wouldn't have caught on to the Bama defense because they're obviously, top 5 defense, but Boston College is so good.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Keith, let's go to you.
Okay, so.
Khalil Tate, quarterback, obviously.
No, I avoided Khalil Tate like the plague.
Cake Fromm?
So, QB1, KJ Costello out of Stanford.
Yep.
QB2.
He's even boringer Jake Fromm somehow.
Kellen Mond. Texas A&M.
That's a good one.
I'm surprised he's not QB1.
Running back one, Kennedy Brooks from Oklahoma.
That's good too.
Running back two, Keshawn Vaughn from Vandy.
Oh, hell.
He's a top 10.
Wide receiver one, Keith Corbin from Houston. Wide receiver.
Same name as you.
Two? Wow. I know. Kirk Merritt from Arkansas State. I couldn't read my own shorthand. Wide receiver three, KJ Osborne from Miami.
You have two guys named KJ.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I'm surprised you didn't pick KJ Hill from Ohio State.
Thought about it, but I found him after I made the list and printed it off. I was like, I really don't want to do another one. In my flex, QB from Army, Kellen Hopkins Jr.
Mm-hmm.
My tight end is Caden Smith from Stanford. My defense is Kentucky.
Yeah.
There's not a lot.
You pretty much got there. Kentucky, Kansas State. That's about it.
I'm trying to find a J defense, anyone right now.
Jacksonville State.
FCS.
Yeah, that's a count.
Josh might have to skip defenses.
My kicker, too, is Kevin Robledo from Southern Methodist. So,
pony up.
All right, my team is pretty good.
This team is insane.
QB1 is Justin Herbert. QB2, Jalen Hurts.
Heisman winner, Jalen
Hurts. Yeah, future Heisman winner, Jalen Hurts. Running back one, Jonathan Taylor.
Oh. that alone.
Nah. Running back two, J.K. Dobbins. Wide receiver one, Jerry Jeudy. Wide receiver two, Justin Ross. Wide receiver three, Jalen Waddle. Tight end, Jacob Breland from Oregon. And flex, I went with Jalen Reagor, TCU, Texas Christian.
And obviously tough to find a defense.
Yeah, I can't. I'm still looking for a J defense. I can't find one.
I mean, Josh legit has like 3 first-round picks on his team.
That's my team. Where's the search front for that? It's not on here.
What are you looking at?
I'm trying to find a defense that starts with J.
Well, well, let's think of J teams. J colleges.
I'm just going to Google Division One colleges that start with J.
All right.
You guys, okay,
why there's so many really good, why does it have to be so many really good players that start with the fucking letter J? What is that?
I don't know.
Popular name.
I don't understand.
I married a J name. Shout out wife.
So, Jamma?
Not her given name, but saying it is similar right. Sound. I also, you could have gone Justin Fields, quarterback as well.
Yep.
Another good one, but. I did an all-time B team, if you want to hear one. That one was pretty good. So, QB1, Baker Mayfield. QB2, Brett Rippon from Boise State. He's got almost over 5,000 yards in his career, or something close to it. RB1, Barry Sanders.
Oh, that's not bad.
RB2, Bo Jackson.
Oh.
Wide receiver 1, Braylon Edwards. Wide receiver 2, Brandon Stokely. And wide receiver 3 is Brian Anderson for Central Michigan. Did not do a tight end, and I didn't want to do a historical defense because it's a lot of work.
On the wind.
Yep, exactly. Fool's errand.
So, isn't a Division I A football team that starts with a J?
Division I A.
It's Jacksonville State.
It's 2007 all over again.
Jacksonville State, Jackson University, James Madison.
Okay, well then let's do this because your team is so good anyway.
You can't start a defense. Can I start a D1AA defense?
No,
because I'll start James Madison.
No.
I don't think fantasy even recognizes FCS schools.
It does
not
go down that far.
Well, this is a hypothetical. We can make it.
No.
That's fine. I think I'll still be all right.
I think the rest of your team is so good anyway.
Yeah, I don't think it'll matter.
I'm really just hoping for injuries at this point.
Keith.
I don't think it's going to matter.
Well, I have easily the worst team of the three. That's so true. This should be fun.
Neat. Well, I think it's just fair.
Well, because I won the real one last year. So, yeah, I guess it's only fair. It counts.
Okay. So let's deep dive into our mock draft here. Before we get to pick by pick, anything that jumped out to you?
Yeah. Many computers made it.
Yeah, I don't like drafting against the
kind
computer.
Of easy. The hardest part was at the end was that it was a matter of, do I want running back or wide receiver?
Yeah.
And who to pick, mm-hmm. as opposed to having 12 legitimate teams who know what they're doing, realizing their roster needs and not just picking the best available.
Right.
So, but I still did learn a lot. I have a lot of research to do on wide receivers, especially like wide receivers like 25 through 40.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause after the first two, then it gets – I don't want to say slim pickings, but that's, I think, was what separates the good teams from the great teams.
Yeah, I think, just from my own personal stance, I've always done a terrible job with wide receivers. Every fantasy team I've built has just been solid on QBs and running backs, but that wide receiver core, like, you need it.
Oh, and that you stayed true to that MO in this draft.
Mm-hmm.
You only drafted 4 running backs. Only 4 wide receivers, but you have 5 quarterbacks.
I did the opposite. I waited way too long to take a quarterback, but my receiving core is pretty stacked.
It is.
And it's something I would take any season.
Yeah. And you have a very good receiving core. So quick rundown of my team. I have my QBs are Justin Herbert, Justin Fields. Running backs are Travis Etienne and Spencer Brown. Wide receivers of Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Bird, and Colin Johnson. TJ Vasher on the bench. Tight end Grant Calcaterra for Oklahoma, Texas A&M defense. And then my bench consists of Zach Moss, Max Borgi, Darrington Evans, Stevie Scott, and Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah.
All right, talk about your favorite picks.
The favorite pick that I made was Darrington Evans in the 10th round. Is that 10th round?
Yeah.
Yes, 10th round. In 2018, he averaged over 6.5 yards a carry, only scored 7 touchdowns, but, you know, you can chalk that up to almost luck. To a certain extent. So I think 1,200 rushing yards, almost 1,200 rushing yards with fewer than 200 attempts is incredible. So I thought I was proud of that value there. Also, in the real draft or the next mock draft, I might look to have him higher than I would Max Borgi, who I drafted in the 9th round. Because Max Borgi is very scheme dependent.
To be fair, you essentially picked those back to back.
Yeah,
there was two picks in between you, so I mean,
yeah,
at that point,
it's a good point.
It's
right.
That's definitely matter.
That's true.
Yeah.
The pick I regret taking was Chuba Hubbard. Nothing against him. It's that he was my seventh running back picked, and I think I needed to go another wide receiver instead. And you know, I like having Judy, Bird, and Johnson, but. Judy Bird Johnson. That sounds like a folk singer from the 1950s. Those are, you know, it's a good group, but I just think I need a little more depth.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a bum knee or my foot got stepped on, so I'm
ready,
half speed rest of the game.
And then I'm picking up some guy on the waiver wire who gets three catches a week.
Right.
You know, then I'm out of luck. Mm-hmm. So another pick that made me really jealous was Josh picking A.J. Dillon in the eighth round. If I remember correctly,
yeah, that was great.
He was on. I picked Zach Moss and had AJ Dillon in my queue, and I was going to pick him next. Mm-hmm. And then Josh grabbed him, which I think AJ Dillon in the eighth round is incredible value. So,
well, you said you were going to pick AJ Dillon over Zach Moss?
No, I had Zach Moss, and then I was going to get AJ Dillon.
Oh, you when I was going to come back around.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It was the second round of the eighth.
As far as
our second draft.
So that, I mean, that's the thoughts on my team. I think I'm really happy with it, but it's also, like I said, in the first half, it's really easy to pick when team two is drafting five defenses.
Right.
Yeah.
Shout out to team two. They have Temple, Utah State, Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio's defense.
That's great.
Josh, what about you?
My team, quarterbacks starting Trevor Lawrence and Brock Purdy, running backs, Jonathan Taylor, Patrick Taylor Jr. from Memphis, receivers Tylan Wallace, CeeDee Lamb, and T. Higgins, and then A.J. Dillon would be my flex guy, and Cheyenne O'Grady from Arkansas at tight end. And who did I take for defense? I took
the
Ohio State University.
Yeah.
So my favorite pick there is Tylan Wallace. If I get him, he's going to be my number one receiver. He's going to have a great year.
Hmm.
I'm very, very high on him, so he's my favorite pick. My least favorite pick, looking it over, is Muhammad Ibrahim. Ibrahim, if I'm saying that right.
Probably not.
Probably not. I'm sure I'm not.
No.
Freshman running back out of Minnesota, just because he's a freshman running back out of Minnesota who's going to sit on my bench, probably, maybe get in for a few games. So,
kind of. I actually like that pick.
I was going to say, I think for the 14th round, that's a really good spot.
I mean, because at that point you're taking flyers and you're like, okay, I really hope this kid blows up.
And he was the last running back off the board. So.
Well, then I guess I could go Brock Purdy and just say it, not because I don't like Brock Purdy.
Careful now.
Just because I wish I would have taken a different quarterback earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was looking at Jalen Hurts and Justin Fields, and you guys both took him the round before I was going to take one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Bill took Justin Fields, Keith Jalen Hurts. So I went with Brock Purdy. So, like I said, I like Brock Purdy, but I would rather have a Jalen Hurts or a Justin Fields in there.
Another random note. I'm surprised that Rondale Moore was on the board as long as he was.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this might have been the computer auto-drafting, but he went in the first pick of the third round overall.
Mm-hmm. No, wait.
Part of me wishes
that... Yeah, it was Roka. Snake draft.
Part of me wishes that I had drafted him with my second round pick instead of a quarterback. That would have brought a lot of wide receiver depth that I was talking about earlier. But,
yeah.
You know, now we know.
I think that's a great pickup for Team 1. I mean, Team 1, they first picked De'Ara King, then Felipe Franks, which I could vacillate on a little bit. I mean, I could see the argument for him, but...
I want to go Franks in the second round.
I would definitely not second round worthy.
But De'Ara King 1-1, like, that's going to be every fantasy draft in America.
Right. Yeah, and other than that, they also have four defenses. Utah, Florida, Texas Christian, and Georgia Southern.
And Fresno State in the fourth round. That's five defenses.
And also, to be fair, to go on your computer, Team A did take Clemson's defense in the first round.
Yeah, it sure did. Which opened the door for me to get Travis Etienne at 11th overall.
Right.
By the way, this was still rigged.
Just saying. Rigged. Your team is awesome. I really like your team.
Thanks. Keith, let's talk about your team.
Yeah, so my team. I took Kellen Mond for my first pick. I also have him for my initial team, which is nice, but I really like A&M this year. I think their that program's only rising. And then I took Michael Warren, junior from Cincinnati, and DeAndre Swift, then LaViska Chenault. Looking over, LaViska Chenault is probably my favorite pick.
Kind of the fourth round.
Yeah. I just think for what he can do, and he's a junior now, so I just...
As long as he stays healthy.
When he's healthy, just that potential is amazing. I think my least favorite pick is actually going to be Shea Patterson.
Because he was your fourth quarterback of the day.
Yeah. Probably could have used another running back at that spot. The 13th, 14th round, I wish I had taken more flyers. I wish I actually flipped those back to wide receivers.
Didn't you take a tight end out of Central just because?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Because it's a tight end. And honestly, the points that they're going to get me, they...
It's probably like three tight ends who are worth taking
early
on. There's really not,
honestly, changed
not that much. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I like my team. I think I have some great value in the 8th through 11th rounds. You know, with, you know, Jarrett Patterson, Malcolm Perry, Kennedy Brooks, and Donovan Peoples-Jones.
I like my 8, 9, 10th round too. That's when I got A.J. Dillon, Levante Bellamy from Western, and then Jaylen Waddle.
Yeah.
I think, Keith, another really good pick you had was Henry Ruggs, the 3rd, in the 7th round. He's kind of a riser in this year's draft boards in terms of potential, because he's kind of the number 2 at Alabama now behind Jerry Jeudy.
Right.
And obviously Jerry Judy's incredible, but you can't throw to him every time.
Right.
So I think that for a 7th round, that's a really good pick. He's probably one that I would look to have a little higher on my big board than I did before this round. Just knowing what I know now about how quickly wide receivers go. And you know, it's also, I have to remind myself, running back is so much deeper, but you only get 2 of those. Wide receiver is not as deep, but you have to have 3.
Right.
So that's...
You can incorporate the flex. Maybe 3 running backs that you play each week.
Right.
Maybe.
Right. But, yeah, you got to put a little bit more emphasis on drafting wide receiver.
Yeah, because, I mean, thinking the floodgates really on wide receivers weren't really open until the 6th, where we had 7 of them go off the board, and then suddenly it was a mad dash to...
Right.
If you hadn't planned ahead, it's a mad dash to get them now, because they're the hot ticket item.
Yep. Once Josh picked CeeDee Lamb in the 5th, then Keith and I did our 2nd quarterbacks. And then, much to Keith's dismay, Jake Fromm went off the board. And then it went Tyler Johnson, Cedric Burrett, Jalen Rager, Marquez Stevenson, T. Higgins, Rico Bussey, Antonio Gandy-Golden. And then just, it was like 6 of the next, literally a half of each round was a wide receiver for the next 4 rounds. So there is a lot to follow.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think.
It'll be different. I think one of these times here we talked about it, do a live draft.
Actually, another, yeah. Next week we're going to do.
What's it here?
Try and orchestrate
to get a
large draft.
Yeah, at least 8 people in.
Yeah.
And then at that point, the 4 auto pickers are going to throw a wrench in the works, but I think that's going to be more interesting than having
8
teams. Yeah. Auto draft. I was actually going to point out a pick that I really liked, which is JoJo Ward in the 8th round out of Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
He was honestly going to probably be my next pick.
Hawaii's going to New Year's Day Bowl.
Yeah, they are. So,
yeah.
I really wanted him, but as soon as he went, I said, I guess I got to revert back to running back. So I took Jarrett Patterson that same round.
Which is another one that I think he'll be really good this year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Both lost a lot.
They sure did. He's going to get a lot of carries this year.
Yeah.
What are your philosophies on drafting specifically quarterbacks and wide receivers from the same team?
If I can avoid it, I obviously didn't here because I took T. Higgins.
So you look to avoid it if you can. Is that for bye week purposes?
It's mostly for bye. Unless there's like unless you're looking at like a T. Higgins and a Justin or Trevor Lawrence there. Two guys who are great picks.
Mm-hmm. Or if you get Tua and
yeah,
Jerry
Tua
Judy.
And Jerry Judy. That's another. But for the most part, I try to avoid that because of bye weeks.
Yeah, and I think there's an argument for like, well, if one does well, it obviously bumps the other one too.
Mm-hmm.
But
it goes
and
the other way
that,
too then.
But then you're looking at replacing two spots during a bye week. So mm-hmm. I actually avoid it as well, or I try to avoid it unless you have a locked in like a really good quarterback and a pass catching running back.
Mm-hmm.
That would be more of a game changer than just, oh, they're on the same team, so they must be good together. Because especially if they run again up against a great defense,
yeah,
then that's
both
two positions that you're gonna get fucked. So
yeah,
the best advice for me at least would be to spread it out.
Mm-hmm.
And don't always look for the high conferences either. Like, don't always look at the SEC. Don't always look at the Big 12. Look at the MAX.
Take the Big 12.
Look at the Fun Belt. Like, look at the teams that have really, really good players, and the defenses that they're going to play week by week aren't going to be the greatest.
Other than running backs, the Big 10 doesn't always have a whole lot of skill positions to offer. And Rondell Moore.
If offensive linemen were a thing in this league, the Big
that's
Ten
true.
Would be.
That's true.
Could be up there for that.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun. If you could do, like, instead of a defensive unit, you just draft an offensive line unit.
Wisconsin.
But how would...
Well, easily.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
how
like...
How would you point that, though?
Team rushing
pancakes.
Yards. You do pancakes. Obviously, sacks are negative.
Yeah.
Collective rushing yards are probably the best way to go about it.
I mean, I'll give another plug to Fantrax here, but it is possible to do stuff like that within the rule set.
Why aren't we doing it?
We might have to try something like that one time. I don't actually want to do a real league based on drafting offensive linemen.
I think in the real, like, we can have some fun leagues where you're just trying to mess around and find different combinations, but I think mostly for the main one, we'll keep it pretty kosher.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, I agree.
Individual defensive players are always fun too. No, not always.
I've never done that.
I did that one time.
I've done it one time. It's fun to research when you draft, but when it's actually time to play the fantasy week, there it's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, I just feel like that'd be too much. And I mean, yes, the draft is the most fun part of any fantasy football that you do, but you don't ever win your league at the draft.
Right.
So many things change between the draft and the championship.
It's a matter of how can you juggle your bye weeks, how
and being
can you improve in trades,
yeah.
be the first to the waiver wire. Yeah.
Another thing that I point out too, when you are drafting, is don't tilt. So don't always zig with everybody else.
Like lean over in my chair.
Yeah, I thought you were actually farting. I was going to point out, Josh took a tight end in the 11th round, because all the teams around us were taking tight ends.
That's a good point.
And you said, well, I might as well take a tight end now.
That's a good point.
Where if I saw that, I would think there's still so much value. I mean, what else was in the 10th round? Like Kennedy Brooks, Donovan Peoples-Jones was still available.
Darrington Evans.
Kennedy Brooks, a 10th round pick.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is you don't always have to follow everyone else. Don't tilt and don't get hung up on the fact what other teams are doing around you, because it's your draft.
I took my tight end in the 11th round.
Kennedy Brooks was a 10th round pick, and then Trey Sermon was even an 8th round pick.
Right.
Surprised that both of them dropped that far.
So there's always going to be more value at better positions.
Yeah.
That would obviously score you more points. So that's a good point.
You're a good point.
When everyone drafts quarterback first round, that means it's time to draft tight end.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Yes.
Hey, I went against the grain in the first round, though. Everyone went quarterback, I went running back, except for the guy who took Clemson's defense.
I went running back too, John.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You were the first to do that. Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, at what point is do you make the decision to go against the grain, though?
That's your
roster.
The other thing, too, is during draft day, you have to be water. So you have to be able to react quickly.
You have to be water. Ooh. So zen of you, Keith.
And you have to be able to know, okay, these are my next five picks based on the information I have now. And then that one pick could change it. And then you say, oh, I see where everyone's going, and I know this guy has more value than all of these positions.
Right.
I'd like to point out this is coming from the guy who took 15 minutes average per pick.
It's also because we took our break in the middle of his pick, so Keith was stuck on this for 20 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of other things going on. Excited. I wasn't able to concentrate on my picks. You guys are like, hey, let me see quarterbacks. Oh, I don't like that. Let me see running backs. Oh, let me see wide receivers.
Yeah, it's going to be obviously.
I was driving.
When you draft yourself, everyone has their own computer. It'll be a little bit, you know, different.
It wasn't deflecting, Bill.
Always
really explain the situation.
Five quarterback Keith. That's what we're going to call you now.
Hey, it's fine with me.
As long as one of them is Jake Fromm, right?
Jake Fromm.
Or Khalil Tate.
Good player.
Jake Fromm, Khalil Tate. QBs 1 and 2 and Keith.
That'd be awesome.
My God.
There's a question for you. You get Jake Fromm, but you also have to take Khalil Tate like the 14th round. Would you do that?
Yeah, I'd do that.
Just to cut Khalil Tate. 14th
round? Absolutely.
I'd take Khalil Tate in the 14th round.
I would take him.
Also, he was absent.
Sit on my bench.
In our mock draft. I don't think Khalil Tate got taken.
That is such a crazy stat for a guy who was the consensus number one overall.
I thought he did go.
Fantasy pick last year.
Well, it's that fall from grace. It's...
See, but it wasn't him.
It wasn't. Kevin Sumlin.
Yeah, it's Kevin Sumlin trying to make him a pass first quarterback. I'm not seeing him on our mock draft
here. I don't think he got drafted.
Which is crazy.
I was saying he might not have because they were going off of pure point values.
Oh yeah, that's right. Going off of 2018 total points.
Yeah.
They were going off of point values. Not the same.
Right.
Yeah. Definitely one to watch. All right. Anybody got any last words?
Last sending offs. Anything you want to say, Josh?
Sorry, I was late.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's fine. We understand.
So I'll be on time next time.
No, you won't.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will.
You'll at least be here, but you won't be on time.
Yeah. That's probably true.
You'll be here.
That's accurate.
All right, guys. We will see you all next week.